comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Wherever you happen to be around this beautiful planet, thank you for being here. And, as always, it's going to be talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. It's the show where you matter. Tonight is K-Files night. Now, what that means is very simply, we begin after the show tonight sending out the K-Files, our free weekly newsletter. And there's really no reason why you ought to be in the dark, because it's free, really free. There are no strings attached, and you can unsubscribe anytime you decide you want to do so. So if you haven't subscribed, go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and you'll see a link that says K-Files. Just click that link and subscribe. You can do it in a few seconds. It's quick. If you are not yet a member, you really ought to consider doing that as well. I mean, come on, 23 cents a day. Now, you know, most people who drink coffee drink more than one cup a day. 23 cents a day is less than the average price for a cup of coffee. Far less. In fact, on one cup of coffee, depending on where you buy it, for one cup of coffee, you could pay for between 5 and 9 days of membership. So to pay for the whole month of membership, which is $6.95, you really only need to skip like 3 or 4 cups of coffee in a month to pay for it. Now, in the members area, you get to watch the show live, and if you were a member, you would see what our members have already seen on their screens, and they saw something that we didn't talk about. They saw something I'm not going to talk about, but you would have seen that if you were in the members area. You get to watch the latest show as well. There's chat, forums, a library of free ebooks for you to download, the Video Galaxy, our K-Pods, that's our archives, and you know they're presented in two ways. One is just a regular website listing of each of the archives, and you can just click on it and listen. Or we also have the list of archives, the K-Pods, formatted in an iTunes format. So if you have an iPod, for instance, you can use that to download to your iPod. So, you know, it's just a great value, and it's only $6.95 a month. It's less expensive if you go quarterly, and even less expensive if you go annually. So, why not? Why not tonight? This would be a good night for you to join, for you to become a member at The Kevin Smith Show. Tonight, we're going to be talking about something very, very odd. Something odd going on in space near us. In galactic terms, as we would say in the South where I grew up, it's within spitting distance, brother. We'll be back right after this. Well, folks, there's something very, very odd occurring out in space, and this is one that I would have to put in the perhaps column, the maybe column, with a strong underscore on maybe. In galactic terms, it's very close to us. In galactic terms, it's within a stone's throw from us, from Earth. And it has to do with something that was begun by NASA back in 1977, 33 years ago. On August the 20th, 1977, NASA launched the Voyager 2 satellite. Now, Voyager 2 has, for 33 years, done absolutely outstanding scientific work. It has flown past several of the planets, a couple of them that it flew past and got close-up photographs of, had never had a visitor from Earth before. For instance, Uranus and Neptune. And so we got the first close-up photographs of both Uranus and Neptune and several of their moons. It was Voyager 2 that discovered the erupting volcanoes on Enceladus. And it's performed, I think, probably way beyond the great expectations of any of its designers. On board Voyager 2, and actually, there, you know, when I say Voyager 2, obviously there's a Voyager 1. So on board of both of those craft is something very interesting. After launching into space and doing all this science work and going to all these planets where we had never sent anything before, Voyager 2 carried something with it, as does Voyager 1, and that's greetings from Earth in 55 languages contained on a gold disc. That gold disc is pretty interesting in itself. It contains etchings on it that, if you just look at that thing, it looks similar to some of the things etched in petroglyphs that you see from ancient people. Now, obviously, these mean something to NASA. They mean they convey a message. And you would think NASA perhaps could take a look at some of the petroglyphs and say, well, here's what that means. Because they're drawing very similar things, etching very similar things on this golden disc. But there are greetings to whoever may find it in 55 languages. Now, that disc has grooves on one side like a phonograph record. Some of you are too young to remember the days of phonograph records, but I think they probably are better known to you these days as vinyls. And so it has grooves, and those grooves are recordings of greetings in 55 languages, also some music from around the world. And the whole notion of this was to introduce us to whoever may be out there. There is a map of our solar system etched on it so that whoever finds this certainly would be able to find us. So it's a little bit too late for Stephen Hawking's to say we shouldn't be trying to contact these people. Too late, we already sent messages out to them 33 years ago. Well, on April the 22nd of this year, 2010, on April the 22nd, 2010, Voyager 2, now out at the very edge of our solar system, just almost ready to go into what we would call free space or deep space, interstellar space. Voyager 2 began talking back to NASA in a format not known on Earth. What do you think is up? What do you think NASA should do about this? Well, NASA determined that this whole thing was a glitch. They said that the telemetry coming back from the satellite is in a format they don't know, and they don't understand, their computers don't know it, don't understand it. And so here's what they did. The first thing they did is they sent commands to Voyager 2 on the 40 BPS engineering only data mode. And they did this by real-time command. And what they were trying to do with that is to determine if perhaps there was some sort of malfunction on board the spacecraft. What they discovered is that there is no malfunction on the spacecraft. There's nothing wrong. It's all okay. There were no alarm conditions on the spacecraft. And yet, Voyager 2 is speaking to NASA in a language, a computer language, they do not know. At the same time, and see, that could be a glitch, but at the same time, it's transmitting and speaking to them, telling them its location in a language they do know. So, Voyager 2 apparently has become bilingual, and it's speaking to them in a language that they do know, as well as a language they don't know. But you know, the great mystery about all of this, the great mystery, I mean, that's mysterious enough, but the mystery is in what NASA has done in response. That's where the mystery is, folks. What do you think they did? They told Voyager 2 to shut up. They told it to stop transmitting except for its location. They told it that this language that they don't understand, it's not supposed to transmit that. And it's supposed to just transmit the language they do understand. And the language that they do understand is the language in which it's giving them its position. So they just told it to shut up. And I find that to be highly, highly mysterious, don't you? You see, this whole thing, this whole affair of telling it to shut up, telling it to stop transmitting that stuff they don't understand, that whole thing literally screams for attention. That response is extremely curious. Now, the event itself is curious. The event itself is very, very curious. At where Voyager 2 is, it's about to hit what they call the bow shock. It's about to move into an area at the very edge of our solar system, where the temperatures are really, really hot in space, and where the solar wind is much thicker, and so they're very concerned about the safety of the spacecraft, right? But the spacecraft says it's okay. See, when they sent these commands in real time to check on the condition of the spacecraft, when they did that, the information came back to them in language they understand, in signals that they understand. Now, you understand when I say language, I'm talking about telemetry. Telemetry that's being transmitted back to Earth. So it came back in intelligible telemetry. They sent a command in the language that the spacecraft is programmed in, And the command was for it to search all of its sensors, see if there's anything wrong with the spacecraft. It did. It followed that command. It responded back to them. There are no alarm conditions on the spacecraft. Everything is A-OK. All in language they understand. But there's this other transmission, this other signal coming in. Or there was. I guess they've turned it off now. But there was this other signal coming in. And it was not in a format that they or their computers understood or could deal with. Is it a glitch? I think there are some crucial questions we have to ask, and we're going to get into those. But that whole event that suddenly this spacecraft is speaking two languages, and whenever it's communicating about its condition, whenever it's communicating about its position, its location, it's speaking in its normal language. But whenever it's transmitting anything else, it's in a different format, a different language. That is just strange. So its location, and as where it is at the edge of our solar system, just about to move into this bow shock, just about to move into this area that's really the last layer of the solar system. It is possible that there's a lot of electronic or magnetic interference out there that could have caused a glitch. But don't you think if it causes a glitch so that it can't speak its normal language, it wouldn't be able to speak its normal language in giving its position. It wouldn't be able to speak its normal language when reporting on the conditions of the spacecraft. So the glitch thing is, first of all, the event is weird. Something is going on with Voyager 2. But the response? Now the response is really strange. There is a German academic who has spoken up, and he said that it looked to him as though aliens had sort of hijacked Voyager 2. Well, of course, some of the press around the world, they're reporting that, but they're reporting it with a little tongue-in-cheek chuckle. But look, we sent greetings in 55 of our languages. We wanted them to hear our different languages. We wanted them, and we gave them 55 of them, so that at least one of them perhaps could decode. Do you really expect that they would reciprocate by speaking in one of those languages, or do you think they would reciprocate by sending a greeting in their language? What if they simply did the flip side of the coin? What if, and this is a big what if, but what, I mean, it makes sense to me that if there were aliens out there that were doing this, they would simply flip the coin over and do on the other side of the coin what we did on this side. They would respond to us in their language to give us an opportunity to decipher as we had given them an opportunity to decipher and learn each other's languages. That would seem normal and natural. That would seem logical, reasonable, and rational if there are extraterrestrials actually involved in this. And maybe there are. Maybe they're not. Right now, they have told Voyager 2 to just shut up. Why? Why have they told it to stop speaking in this other language? Why? What would be the motive? What would be the purpose? What would be the benefit of having it stop speaking in this other language? I can think of several, and they have nothing to do with it being a glitch. Now, we're going to come back to Voyager 2 in just a moment, but before we hit this first break, let me remind you that it was earlier this year, when actually it was late in 2009, when we had Dr. Lakhazar Filipov coming out in public and saying, folks, extraterrestrials are here, and they're among us, and you don't even recognize them. But we're we're in constant communication. Pardon me. Got a lot of stuff in the air here in Phoenix, Arizona. So there he came out and said that, and you know the whole story about this astrophysicist, a really world-renowned astrophysicist by the name of Lakhazar Filipov. And you know what happened. If you don't, you can go see the video series on YouTube I put up there that explains it all. But you had that happen. And then we had this astronomer by the name of Judy Faltskog that said there's a signal coming from this certain location, and what she said was that it really had everyone at the observatory walking around with confused looks on their faces. They didn't know what to think about it. It was absolutely an intelligent signal. Big uproar on the internet. Her Facebook page was taken down. And lots of people immediately, of course, the UFO community eats its own. So immediately the sharks move in and they start gnawing all over her story about, you know, speaking as though they're experts. And really, most people who speak as though they are experts really aren't. They're just mainly full of hot air. But a few are experts, but most people that make these declarative statements aren't. And then she disappeared for a while. We'll be back. We're not disappearing. Welcome back. When we went away for break, I was saying, you know, that a lot of people who show up on the internet as really they're loudmouth hot air bags. And you know who I'm talking about. I mean, you've seen them, you've run into them, and you know they just spout all kinds of stuff as if they are experts when they're really not. And I want to be careful. I want to be very, very careful that we in no way give that impression about what we're talking about here tonight. I'm just saying there's some curious stuff out there, and I'm not giving expert testimony here. Very curious stuff going on. But with Dr. Judy Faltskog, you know, she disappeared for a while, and then when she reappeared, it was just like what happened with Dr. Lakhazar Filipov. He disappeared for a while. When he came back, he's no longer saying we're in contact with aliens. When asked that question, he said, that is the information that if I tell you, they will kill me. So she disappears. When she resurfaces, she's saying, well, there was really nothing to it. False alarm. Then we have this. We have Voyager 2 speaking to us in an unknown language. And when NASA hears it, NASA's response was to tell Voyager 2 to just shut up. Crucial question number one. Folks, NASA says this is, they think it's a glitch. Well, if it is a glitch, how is it still able to send its location in non-glitched format? And how is it able to do a systems check and send the information back to NASA that there are no alarms, no alarm conditions on the spacecraft? How can it do that in its non-glitched standard format if in fact there is a glitch that's causing this communication problem? They're getting telemetry. They don't understand it. They're getting telemetry. It's not in a format they understand. And so the first question is, if this is a glitch, wouldn't it seem reasonable that the communications from Voyager 2 back to NASA, the communication about its position, would also be glitched? Doesn't it make sense that its communication back to NASA about its onboard conditions would also be glitched? In fact, doesn't it make sense that it may have difficulty, and in fact it may be impossible, for the spacecraft to have understood the commands from NASA for it to do a systems check? If there is a glitch that is affecting all its other communications, it would seem to me the same glitch would affect its communication regarding its onboard conditions and regarding its location. Crucial question number two. I told you there are several crucial questions that we have to ask about this. Well, crucial question number two, if it's only a glitch, why order it to shut up? They ordered it to shut up except for transmitting its location. Why? I mean, for what purpose? If it's just a glitch, why not let it continue to send its glitched information, its glitched transmissions? Because in sending its glitched transmissions, it just may be that in those glitched transmissions, the answer to the problem is encoded. In other words, if you keep receiving the glitched transmissions, what's causing the glitch may show up in those transmissions. And it may be then the clue to the solution. So why would you tell it to shut up? Well, it has been proposed by a couple of people that I saw on the internet that perhaps the reason NASA told it to shut up is for the purpose of making sure that no outsiders, no amateurs, pick up the signal. Now, if that's the case, then the question would be, why do you not want us to pick up the signal? Is it because it may, in fact, be an alien signal? Is it because there are a lot of smart people out there that don't work for NASA that might be able to decipher that signal? Is that the reason that NASA told Voyager 2 to shut up? Well, I don't know. I'm asking questions. And I'm not insinuating anything other than this. And I'm very clearly not insinuating, but I'm very clearly stating right out front. I am very clearly stating that what NASA has done in telling this satellite to shut up is suspicious. I'm not insinuating it. I'm saying it. I am saying right up front, that's suspicious. Now, is it possible that there's really nothing to this and that things are exactly as NASA tells us. Yeah, that's possible. That's possible. But, I mean, there's some big questions here, don't you think? I've got another one or two. Don't you think it's a big question as to, well, when it tells you its location, that's not glitched. When it tells you anything else, that's glitched. How's that possible? How is it possible that this satellite is speaking two languages at the same time now? How is that possible? If it's a glitch, wouldn't it also affect its giving of its location? I mean, wouldn't that telemetry be glitched as well? Now, maybe there's an answer for that. Maybe there is a reasonable, logical answer for that. I haven't seen one. And I went to the Voyager 2 mission website and read what they had to say about all of this problem, and they don't address those questions. They don't even address them. Why is it that you guys can receive its location in telemetry you understand, and all of its other telemetry is in a language you don't understand? If it's a glitch, why isn't all of its communication glitched? Again, maybe there's a rational, reasonable explanation for that. But they haven't even addressed that. They haven't even talked about that. Well, let's look at another question or two here that I think are important. Is it the case, a crucial question number three, is it the case that NASA does not want anyone on Earth to hear and decipher the signal? That's a crucial question, don't you think? There are people who have the equipment to listen to these satellites. There are people, now, you know, probably not Johnny with some homemade equipment in his garage. That's not what we're talking about. But there are people that have equipment where they would be able, just perhaps, to pick up that signal and notice that it's in a format not known here on the planet. And it is possible that that person either is smart enough to decipher it or knows people who are, and they may go to work on it. Is that the reason? Is that the case? Is it the case that NASA does not want anyone on Earth to hear and decipher this signal? Crucial question number four. And see, folks, I mentioned this one earlier, but we greeted them in 55 of our languages. Are they answering us in their language? Is that what's going on? Now, I said several times during this show, and I'll say it again, it is possible that this is just a glitch, exactly as NASA has said it is. It is possible that that is the case. But it also seems to me that their actions, their responses, their response to this situation, and their non-response to what I think would be normal, natural questions, technological questions, is very mysterious. And it, from my point of view, and it's just my point of view, but from my point of view, it makes no sense if it is a glitch. It makes no sense in a couple of areas. Number one, if it is a glitch, why are not all the communications from that satellite glitched? Why are not all telemetry streams from that satellite glitched? If that's what it is, if it's a glitch. The other thing that's interesting and mysterious is that they told it to shut up. Look, if it is streaming out glitched information, or information in a glitched format, let's put it that way. If that's what it's doing, it makes sense to me, if you want to solve that, if it truly is a malfunction of something on the spacecraft that's causing that, then you let it stream and sort of decode its problem. You can figure out what's its problem. How is it getting all of this out of order? If that's what's going on, you would want the stream to continue, I would think, so that you have some sort of up-to-date, real-time forensics on what your problem is. Then you could work on writing some kind of commands or program to work around that and solve it. That would make sense. It doesn't make sense, in light of the story that it's a glitch, to tell the satellite to shut up. That makes no sense to me. Maybe I'm all wet. I'm not saying that this is an alien signal. I never would have said that, except that NASA told the satellite to shut up. That's what got my interest. That's the thing that makes me raise the eyebrow and say, why would you tell it to shut up when it's giving you its problem? Look, that's like if you're sick and you go to the doctor, right? And you start to tell the doctor what's wrong with you, and he tells you, hey, look, just shut up. I don't want to hear it. Would that make sense? We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. We're talking about this kind of weird thing that's happening with Voyager 2 out at the edge of our solar system. And Voyager 1 is farther away from the Earth than Voyager 2. It's further out into the edge of the solar system than Voyager 2. But Voyager 2 is at the edge of the solar system. It's speaking two languages, so to speak. And that's weird, but the response that NASA had was even more strange, in my opinion. As I was saying, it's like you go to the doctor because you're ill, and you expect to be able to tell the doctor your symptoms. And the doctor says, well, just shut up. I really don't want to hear that. And you can talk to me to tell me where you are in the room, but don't tell me anything else. Well, you'd get up and leave, right? I mean, you'd figure the doctor's lost his mind. It doesn't match any kind of normal rationale. So when they told this satellite to shut up, my ears pricked up and my eyes popped open, and I said, what? You told the thing to shut up and it's trying to tell you something, perhaps what's wrong with it? So, I think those are some weird circumstances. I think those are some very, very strange responses out of NASA. And they haven't addressed the technological thing. I mean, their website, if you go to Voyager 2 mission website, it has a little article about this, and it's got some bare minimum information that I've shared with you already here tonight. But they don't address the idea of how it is that it's able to communicate its position in a language they understand when its other communications are glitched. It's able to communicate that there are no onboard alarms. It can do that in a format they understand. but it can't communicate anything else in a format they understand. So how is it able to send this kind of information in a format that NASA understands? How is it able to do that if there's a glitch that's causing its telemetry to be in a format they don't understand? That's a technological question. And you would think that because that website is there sort of as a public service to report to the public about this mission, and they've got an update on there about this problem, you would think they would address the basic technological stuff and educate the public, wouldn't you, as to how it's able to do that. And of course, one reason to not put that information on the website would be they're just not really into PR. They're just really not into having the public on their side. I doubt that. Another reason to not put that information on there is because the answer to that information may be that there's nothing wrong at all on the satellite, and they are just getting telemetry that's from some other source, from the satellite. In other words, they may be getting an alien signal. Maybe not, but they may be. And everything they're doing is pointing that direction. Everything they're doing, the way they're doing it, is pointing in that direction. So I know we have a lot of NASA.gov computers logged in every night, and we have a lot of NASA employees and scientists who listen to the show each night after they get home from work. So, guys, gals, what's up here? I'm just asking questions. What's up? I think you folks at NASA that are listening, I think you can see that I have raised legitimate questions here. Questions that need to be answered. And if you try to answer them untruthfully, you will do so as unskillfully as in past times, and we will notice it, and we will pick up on it. So just tell us the truth. What's up here? Now, what's up here at the Kevin Smith Show is I'm going to go ahead and open up the telephone lines. The telephone number, the main number here in the studio, is 623-444-5889. The telephone number, the toll-free telephone number for the USA and for Canada is 888-223-4599. If you're outside of the USA and Canada, you may, of course, go to my website and click on the link that says Flash Message. All right? Right underneath the graphic for tonight's show, you'll find that link. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. Well, we don't have the caller. I don't know what happened. All right, we'll try this one. All righty, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Yeah, this is very interesting. I think, all the above questions would have to be answered first. A few things I would say, though, possibilities is, if another civilization was trying to contact Earth, we have more powerful instruments on the planet that would probably pick it up, if that satellite could pick it up,
Well, what if they're just responding to what we put on the satellite?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, it could be because they're just, through that quagmire or that unit. That could be definitely, a possibility. But another possibility I was thinking of is these computers, they make them so they can kind of think for themselves and repair damage so they can, make things work. You know, and I was wondering, maybe that satellite was transmitting back some kind of computer-made language of its own.
Well, the computers on board that craft are 33 years old. Okay? So the computer capability that's on that craft is computer capability from pre-PC days, before there was any such thing as a personal computer, before there was any such thing as anybody having a computer at home. So the computing capabilities were 33 years ago, and they were very primitive. So I strongly suspect it does not have the artificial intelligence components in it. It probably has a computer about as sophisticated as a wristwatch.
Yeah. Well, you know, we always say that, you know, the people behind that stuff are years ahead of what they launch and stuff. So I think there could be slight possibility there.
Well, then, you know, we could assume that if that's the case, then we could assume that it has computer capabilities about equal to a PC. And PCs are not powerful enough, generally speaking, to run AI and do repairs on themselves.
Yeah. Also, I was wondering, that they told it to shut up, maybe, it's, definitely an idea that, they don't want anyone else to hear it. But, they could have also, some civilization could have also maybe taken it over. And the computer could be talking to our computers and asking it questions about us, and they don't want the communications going back and forth because they don't know what they're asking and what they're and telling.
Yeah, Terry, you want to hang on through the break?
Sure.
Yeah, we'll be back, folks, right after this. Boy, that's a great idea. And welcome back. Let's go right back to the telephone. Terry, you said something that I had not thought of. Maybe this is an alien signal, and maybe they're using our satellite to transmit back and drain information out of our computers here on Earth.
Yeah, they could be like putting in a virus or some way or something that they can, take over. Our computers, or you could go a long ways with that thought.
Wow! Now, see, that's something I hadn't thought of, and that's something like kind of out of Independence Day, the movie.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, Terry, thank you for the call, and thank you for that thought. Boy, that would be wild, wouldn't it? That would be wild, and that's something I hadn't even thought about. 623-444-5889 is the main number. You can call us in the USA and Canada toll-free if you need to. It is 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
I have a couple of things for you, actually.
All right.
First thing is, it's not a satellite. It's a deep space probe. The second thing is, I wonder where these people in NASA went to school. Because 20 plus years ago, I was helping my brother map data structures. And if you don't have a signal you do not understand, what you do is run it through a black box through various bases, like base 2, 4, 8, 16, and so forth, until you find a pattern that makes sense. We had one data structure we were trying to map. Turned out to be a base 48. And that when the people who wrote that program called and asked how we were doing, their jaws hit the table when we told them we were half done. Now, if a tax software programmer can figure that out, because if I'm not mistaken, those computers were programmed in machine language. That's ones and zeros. If a home business can figure that out, what's to say that, why can't the people in NASA think outside the box and say, all right, maybe it's a different base. Maybe it's not a base 2 or 4 or 6. Maybe it's a base 33. If they can't understand it, what's stopping them from thinking?
Well, maybe they have. Maybe they're just not telling us.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you go to their webpage, just Google Voyager 2 Mission, and it'll take you to the mission webpage. You can read the little, it's a little one-paragraph article that's kind of just a blurb about this problem. And there's nothing in that little blurb that makes sense to me technologically. I understand. Let me say this. I understand exactly what they're talking about when I read that. But it doesn't make sense when you match it up to the problem they're having.
Yeah,
and, you know, obviously there's information they haven't given us. So maybe they've done what you're talking about. Maybe they now know exactly what that signal is and what it says. But they're not telling us.
Yeah, and like Terry said, maybe they're afraid of the information getting out.
Could be. Brent, thanks for the call.
Yep.
All right. Wow, now see, two great calls, two great thoughts and ideas. That's, you know, folks, what do talk show hosts talk about when they get together? Well, one of the things that I always talk about, this is absolute truth, is I've just got the greatest people in the audience that any host could hope for, because you are thinkers. Okay, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, we were kind of partying here on a Friday night, and we happened to tune in, and we all had one question about the whole incident. I mean, there's all these different thoughts and things, but I came up with it and people agreed. I want to say one thing. If there's data coming in, why would scientists want to get rid of it no matter what kind of data it is? And here's my question for you, and I'm not going to hang up. How many satellites have went past Neptune, Uranus, and are headed into deep space? How many?
Two.
So there's been two that have ever made it out there. They're transmitting data for scientific things, which means everything, no matter what it is. And you're telling me that they just cut it off? That's what they're saying? They just cut it off and say, we don't want that data anymore?
That's exactly right. They're only allowing it, at this point, to transmit its location.
Okay, well, that's a fraud. Either they have so much data that this is a complete inconvenience for them and they just want to shut it off because they have so much, millions of it, that we don't know about, or they're not shutting it off and they're saying, oh my God, there's something cool coming in and we don't want them to know. Other than that, the story is completely false. You never shut off an information, no matter what it is, coming in for something. When there's only been two of them past Neptune and Uranus, we can't even fathom that. That thing probably started in the 1990s. I'll end my call, and I want to know, with the end of my call, when that satellite took off from Earth. Thank you.
Okay, it took off in 1977. It's been flying for 33 years flawlessly. Thank you, Bob. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin.
Yes.
Hi, it's John from Vancouver Island.
Hello, John.
Hi. really interesting. I'm just going to... I tend to agree with Brent and the other caller about a paranoia about a virus or something coming in. So that might prompt NASA to shut the whole thing down.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't really make sense because it's already been transmitted. So the if it were a virus or, you know, something like that, it's already in the system.
Mm-hmm.
So why shut it down? And I would be inclined to side with your argument, saying, well, let's look at the code and let's see what it's up to.
Yes. John, you're computer savvy, and I know because we've talked before on several occasions. Now, I don't know what antivirus program you run on your computer, but all of the major antivirus software that's out there have a service where you can capture the virus and then you can email it to them. And what they do is they take it apart. They look at the code.
Right.
And then that way they can see what it's doing and how it does it, and then they can build a defense against it, and that goes in their next update.
Yeah.
See, so to me, it would just seem, you know, we're doing that with viruses here in cyberspace. It would just seem to me that whether it's a virus or whatever it is, this telemetry is coming in. You don't understand it. It's not in the right format. You can't read it. Okay, dissect it. Take it apart.
Right.
And see what's in it.
Okay, so having said that and having understood that, I'm going to liken this to the Gulf disaster, where the oil is flowing out. It may seem kind of weird to make that connection.
Okay.
But it's an opportunity for organizations that are green to seize onto that and really press their case. And so I think this situation is similar to the green movement, where you could seize onto this scenario, and those of us who want to see the pure data come in, those of us who are looking at possible UFO communication, and since this is a publicly funded organization, this would be an opportunity for all those groups to seize the opportunity and say, cut the crap, give us the info, give us the data, and just like end this stuff that's going on because it's not making sense. Have the public look at the data since we pay for it.
Well, I agree. And that's why I say it makes no sense to do this. Unless there is some kind of underground ulterior scenario being played out. That, for instance, it's an alien signal. They know it's alien. They don't want anybody else getting it or deciphering it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm not saying that's what it is, but no, that would make more sense than what they're doing.
Well, the only thing I'm saying is, like, you know, whether it's MUFON or any of those organizations, like, very rapid mobilization to press the case publicly would, you know, now would be the time to do that and really press forward.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think so.
All you're doing is you're asking for data from a publicly funded organization. That's all you're asking for, and that cannot be so difficult.
Well, you would think.
It's really strong.
You would think. Okay, John, thank you for the call. Very interesting thoughts. I agree. 623-444-5889 is the main telephone number here in the studio. And you can call that from anywhere on planet Earth and possibly planet Nibiru. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Tracy from Canada.
Hello, Tracy.
Well, really interesting topic. I hadn't heard of this, and I actually just went to the website and checked it out. Just hearing the callers and hearing you speak of it,
mm-hmm.
it drives us nuts that it's a puzzle.
Yeah.
And so I can't imagine that the people from NASA would listen to a puzzle like this and let it go. So maybe they did something to mask it so that we can't hear it here, but I doubt they'd turn it off.
So you don't think they've actually turned it off?
They say that they said they did.
Uh-huh. But you don't think they did?
No. You couldn't send information and have people say, no, we don't want it. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense, does it?
And I don't even work there. We all want it. We want to hear what it says.
Yeah, it makes no sense at all.
Yeah, my lie detector just went off and went red and said, you know, evacuate. So, not buying it.
Well, now, let me ask you. You said you went online and looked at this. Did you go to the Voyager 2 website?
Yeah, I did.
All right. On that Voyager 2 website, you'll have to look around for this. I found it on there. You can take a virtual tour, and you can hear sounds that have been recorded by Voyager 1 and Voyager 2 as they approach various planets. Oh. The very first planet is Saturn. Now, you play that audio and tell me if you don't hear a voice in the background.
I've heard that on YouTube. Yeah, you hear something.
Yeah.
Sounds like repeating patterns, like a voice.
Well, this actually sounds like you would hear in an EVP, you know?
Could be.
And check that out. I had not heard this one on YouTube. I've heard the other one where it sounds like music and then they slow it down and it sounds like a voice. But this one, without slowing it down, sounds like someone in a near whisper talking in the background.
In Saturn?
Saturn, yeah.
Okay, I'll check that out.
All right.
Either that or, you know, people from other planets are going to think we're rude. We send out a message and we don't answer back.
Well, yeah. Yeah. That might not be polite.
Not talking to them anymore.
Tracy, thank you for the call. Very, very interesting. Okay, well, maybe she's right, you know. Maybe they haven't really turned it off, but they're masking it where nobody else can get it. That's a possibility. 623-444-5889. Or toll-free at 888-223-4599. If you live outside the USA or you live outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message, and Ross in the United Kingdom has done so. He says, if I came across a probe like Voyager 2 with a greetings plaque, I might reprogram the computer so that it sends two streams back, one the original code and one with my language. Maybe that's what's happened. Maybe ET has done something like this. If it is still transmitting back okay with the original code, then the sensible thing is to compare the second unknown code and see if you can translate it. That's all assuming NASA is telling us what is really going on. Ross, you are right. I concur with that. I think, you know, you ought to look at this and say, well, you know, we sent greetings out there, so maybe this is them saying hello back to us. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Mark from Los Angeles.
Hello, Mark.
104. I am live, I guess, after that hospital stay.
Well, I'll tell you what, I know you were very, very ill, and, you know, I told our listeners all about that and ask them to think about you and pray for you, and it's good to hear you up and around.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I caught a couple of the shows when I was able to come back home. Excuse me, I'm a lot better than what I was, but I still have a ways to go. But I'm back in the studio and doing some stuff, and once I get my voice back, I'll go back on the air. But thank you again. But anyway, I have a question. I missed part of the show this morning because I had a couple of other phone calls. But how long ago do they think that this was actually transmitted?
Well, I don't know. That's not addressed in any of the things that NASA has written. Now, it was on, let me check my notes here. I think it was 22nd. Yes, the 22nd of April of this year. So just a few weeks ago, 22nd of April, that this, quote, problem became known to them. Now, it takes about 13 hours for a transmission to get from that satellite back to Earth. So if they send commands up to it, it takes 13 hours for those commands to reach it. So we do know that that telemetry was transmitted a minimum of 13 hours before we knew about it.
Okay, so it's still, it's recent. It's not like years ago, and it, you know, I don't know how long it takes to get out there.
No, it takes 13 hours for communications.
Okay, and the next question is, why would they tell us that they received this signal except to set up flags like your show and some other UFOologists and all that, unless they're trying to cover something else up, you know, to get our mind off this, to put it over to that, or whatever? I mean, why would they even give us this information, and why would they tell us they just cut it off?
That's a good question, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean...
It's an excellent question. I don't have an answer to that. You know, it's hard to know what goes on in the minds of the devious. So I don't have an explanation or an answer for that. But there would obviously have to be some reason, and it is possible that the reason is to make us look this direction so we're not looking at something else.
Yeah, look this way, not that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's, I think a lot of these government cover-ups, you know, I'm putting my fingers up as quotes right now, I think that's what a lot of them are, is to make us look over here instead of over there. The same thing with the stealth fighter and our stealth bombers, fighter, whatever. They brought them out when they were obsolete to make us look at those, say, okay, this is the stuff here, and get us away from looking at like the TR-3B or the, you know, all these other aircraft that we think are out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, kind of curious. And again, I missed it where you said where you received or where you saw this information at for the NASA.
It's on NASA's Voyager 2 website. If you Google Voyager 2 mission, I think it's the first or second link that shows up on Google. There is their actual mission website.
Okay, I will do that here in a few minutes. Anyway, just wanted to thank you for that and get a couple of questions answered there. And I want to thank everybody for their prayers and thoughts while I was in the hospital. It was a long stay. I still got a ways to go, but I'm a lot better than what I was. And keep up the good work.
All right. Thanks, Mark, and all the best to you. That's Mark Maverick, the owner of the station out in Los Angeles that carries our show, Indy 104. He's back in the land of the living, and that's a good thing. All right, the telephone number is 623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223-4599. You know, Voyager 1 and Voyager 2 have both encountered some really, really strange things in their flight to the edge of the solar system. One of the things that they encountered is that, you know, that you would think the further they get from the sun, the faster they would fly, right? Because the further you are away from the sun, the less gravitational pull the sun has. Actually, they began slowing down about a year and a half ago. And, you know, that's a weird thing, a strange thing that happened to them. And their flight path, instead of continuing straight, began to curve away from each other. And as if they were veering away from each other. And they were not flying side by side. One went off in one direction towards the edge of the solar system. The other went in another direction. But their flight paths curved away from each other. And they began to slow down. So it's very, very strange. This is a spacecraft that was built in the 1970s. It's a spacecraft that was launched August the 20th, 1977. It is a spacecraft that has performed flawlessly for 33 years. One of the things that I read on one of the blogs is, okay, it's 33 years old. It's been in space for 33 years, so now it's beginning to malfunction. Big deal. Okay, that's possible, isn't it? Except NASA said that's not it. NASA's own site says that in real time, they sent up commands to the spacecraft for it to do its onboard check, and there were no alarm conditions on the spacecraft. So that theory that it's just getting old and it's been out in space a long time and it's just, you know, wear and tear and the natural normal entropy of age, and it's just now beginning to come to the end of its life, that doesn't square with what NASA put on their website. But then a lot of what they have on their on that website, on that web page for Voyager 2, doesn't square with itself. Now, perhaps it could if they were to explain how it could. But they have to understand that, you know, if they're going to... If what they explain, you know, let's say they go back and redo the page and what they give us is a lot of nonsense and baloney, we're going to know it really quick. We'll be back right after this. Get your fingers ready to do the dialing. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and this evening we're talking about this very mysterious going on with Voyager 2, and Brent correctly pointed out it is not a satellite. It is and it isn't. It was a satellite, but it left Earth orbit many years ago and became a deep space probe, and it is... definitely in deep space. It is at the edge of the solar system, and it is moving at incredible speed out of the solar system. That's where it's headed. They say it'll take about another 8 to 10 years to completely be free of the solar system. It is, by the way, nuclear powered. Voyager 1 and Voyager 2 are nuclear powered. And they have enough fuel to propel them further out into interstellar space. And so it's not going to be very long until these things are completely out of the solar system. I think it'll be interesting to see if we are able to receive signals from them once they get through this barrier at the edge of the solar system. Once they punch through that and get to the other side, will we still be able to receive their signals, and will they be able to receive signals from Earth? But what's going on doesn't match any kind of logic that I can think of. Keep in mind that the story may be precisely what NASA's telling us, but they're leaving out some key pieces. Maybe just because they didn't think we needed to know or would care to know. So I want to go on record as saying we do care to know. You know, if you leave out a few key pieces, then things can look one way. If you put those pieces back into the puzzle, it looks another way. And so that may be the case. But nothing about this really makes a lot of sense to me, the information as we have it. And my information is from their website. The information as we have it doesn't make sense. We've had several callers that have pointed out that you don't just turn off a data stream just because you don't like what it's saying. If you're a scientist, you want the data. No matter what it says, no matter how it says it, you want the data. it doesn't make sense that the thing is, you know, they say, well, it's a glitch that's causing it to send this telemetry in a strange format that we don't understand and that we can't decipher and we can't read it. Saying that it's a glitch doesn't make sense because it's still sending its position in a format they understand. When they ask it to check its onboard sensors and see if there were any alarm conditions on board the spacecraft, it did. It understood what they said. It did what they asked, and it sent the telemetry back in a format they could understand that said there are no alarm conditions on the spacecraft. So, you know, the spacecraft itself is saying there's nothing wrong with me. I'm okay. And they can understand that, and they can understand the telemetry that gives its position. But this other signal coming in is, if you will, in a foreign language. They don't understand it, and they can't deal with it. They don't know what to do with it. And so they're saying they told the satellite, shut up. Just don't send any more of that. The only thing we want to hear from you is your position. That's my characterization of it, but that is what they did. At least that's what they say they did. Now, that doesn't make sense, does it? I mean, a glitch is a glitch is a glitch is a glitch, and if it knocks part of the signal into unintelligible language, so to speak, it's computer telemetry, but I'm using the word language. So if it makes it speak a foreign language, wouldn't that same glitch make all the telemetry coming from that satellite speak in that foreign language? So what I'm saying is, I don't think it's a glitch. At least, I don't think so at this point in time. On their website, they do not explain how it can be speaking two languages at once. One of them they can understand, the other one they can't. They don't explain how is it possible for that spacecraft to be able, how is it possible that it can speak in two languages if this unintelligible language was caused by a glitch. How is part of it still intelligible? That doesn't make sense. So maybe they can explain that. And I think they should. I think they should explain it. It doesn't make sense that you would turn the data stream off, no matter what. I agree with everybody that's called in and addressed that issue. I agree with what you're saying. That doesn't make sense. Some of you use on your computers, you have Norton antivirus. Some of you have McAfee. Some of you have Avast. Some of you have, I don't know. There's thousands of them out there. But most of the major ones, the ones that I just mentioned, all of those, request that you email a virus to them. When your antivirus program catches a virus, it has a function. It goes by different names with different programs, but basically it sort of captures the virus, stores it in a vault where it cannot hurt your computer, and then you can email that to the authors of the software. And they request that you do that so that they can open it up, dissect it, read its code, and see how it works. That way they can write something into their antivirus update that will defend against that particular virus. So they don't want viruses to infect their computers, but they want you to send them the virus, the code. They want you to send it to them so they can look at the code and fix the problem. It would seem to me if this is a glitch, you'd want to keep it on. So you can look at the code and see what the problem is. It doesn't make sense that you turn it off. But turning it off is what they've done. Or they say they have. Now, we have had one caller that had a pretty neat perspective on this. I believe it was Tracy, said, you know, I don't think they really turned it off. I think that's what they're telling us. But I think they've still got it on. They're still receiving it and working fast and furious to decipher it. And that may be the case as well. I've talked with you recently about the protocols that are in place to keep anyone that works with astronomy or astrophysics or anything out in space from ever talking about having received an extraterrestrial signal or having detected any evidence of extraterrestrial intelligence. Those protocols exist. There are global, international organizations that govern that. And boy, I'll tell you, if you're an astronomer or an astrophysicist and you step outside the line, things fall on you like a ton of bricks. And we've seen evidence of that. We've talked about that right here on this show. And we've named names. And we know that it happens. So is this a case of NASA following the protocols? Is this an alien signal? Maybe. I told you at the beginning of the show that I have to put this one over in the perhaps column. And it's a big perhaps. It's a big maybe. But I have to put this over in that column. I cannot say to you that, yes, I think this is an alien signal. What I can say is that the actions of NASA in light of this situation don't seem to match reality with what they're saying. What they're saying is the problem doesn't seem to match what they're doing about the problem. And I don't know, maybe it's an alien signal. Maybe things are exactly as NASA has said, and they've simply given us incomplete information. But see, this is something NASA needs to address as well. You come to us for funding, and you want it, and you expect it. Well, then you need to communicate a little better. If this thing is exactly as what you're telling us it is, you need to communicate a little better. You need to cover the issues. You know, you need to have someone read these things that you put on your website and not just proofread it, but think read it. After they read it, they need to be reading it and thinking about it in terms of how all of that is going to hit the public, how it's going to read for the public. And then they need to suggest some edits. Just my advice, friendly advice and free, but valuable nonetheless. That would help you at NASA a bunch if you did that. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. Toll free here in the United States, the number is 888-223-4599. All right, we have a flash message, and I think we have a phone call as well. So I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take the phone call first. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin from Beaverton.
Hi, Kevin.
I was just wondering, what was the function of this thing that they turned off anyways?
Well, this spacecraft has all kinds of equipment that measures all kinds of things. Plus, it has cameras all over it. It measures the strength of magnetic field around it. It measures the temperature. It measures various types of radiation that are hitting it, and then it sends all of this information back. So the function of the telemetry that's coming back should be that. But that isn't what was coming back. So that's the function of this signal, as it should be, okay? But instead of arriving in a format where their computers could read it, it came in a format that was an unknown language to them. Kevin, I have to step away for break. I want to thank you for the call. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. This evening, we have been talking about, we're going to continue to talk about, Voyager 2, one of the most successful spacecraft, one of the most successful space missions ever at NASA. And we're talking about some real oddities that have occurred with the spacecraft, and then oddities in NASA's response. Understand, I'm not saying their response is inappropriate. Maybe it is. Maybe it's appropriate. I'm saying that based on what they're telling us, it doesn't appear to be logical, rational, reasonable. It doesn't appear to fit the situation. I don't know if this is an alien signal that's coming to us. I don't know that. It may not be, but there are real mysteries, real oddities in this story, and the story is straight from their website. So, is it an alien signal, or is it a glitch? What do you think about it? We have time for one or two more calls. The telephone number is 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. Let's get to the flash message that came in just a moment ago. It's from Carl in Australia. Good questions about Voyager 2. I was trying to think of scenarios, and I'm in no way an expert. Picture a cockpit of an airliner halfway across the Atlantic in the middle of the night. The pilots notice that the information from their main computerized flight displays is garbled. Backup analog flight displays seem to be working fine, as are the other computer-related systems, such as navigation. In this scenario, after some problem-solving, it might be prudent to temporarily isolate or shut down the faulty system in case the problem can somehow spread, assuming it's faulty. After the aircraft in this scenario is safe, maybe there will be time to realize the garbled display was a message, but safety first is perhaps an understandable first reaction. I think what they do next will be more interesting. Will they share samples of the garbled data? Wow. Well, Carl, that's some good thoughts. That's good thoughts. The only thing is, there's not any analog system on the spacecraft, and by that I mean it's all telemetry. It's digital. It's digital telemetry being transmitted back to Earth. So, is it possible that there are two separate systems, or maybe three systems, that are communicating, and that one of them that's communicating, for instance, its location, was not hit by the glitch? Sure, that's possible. But that's what I was saying. If that's the case, NASA needs to tell us that. They need to put that on their website. They need to explain how it is that they are able to communicate with the craft in language that both they and the craft understand. The craft is able to communicate with them in that language because there is a backup system. If that's the case, they need to tell us that. and explain it to us. If they, you know, failing that, if they don't explain that, and they leave it just like it is, then, you know, at that point, when all the evidence is not on the table, all speculation is valid. And, you know, I guess the ball's in their court. They have to determine whether they're going to put all the pieces of the puzzle on the table for us. Maybe they think we're just too insignificant and we don't really need to know all of that. Okay. We've been treated that way by many government agencies over the years. But, you know, the mood in the country now is pretty much this way. You think I'm insignificant? Fine. You don't get any money. And I would recommend, you know, NASA now has a huge, huge PR problem. They are essentially an agency that is coming to the end this year. Coming to the end of astronauts in space. Oh, they'll still send someone up hitchhiking on somebody else's spacecraft, but they're out of the space faring business. They need a little better PR. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. My name is Bill. I'm calling from Illinois.
Hi, Bill.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. I can't help but think nothing's done by accident. You know, it has to be the old CYA type thing with them. Did they fire somebody? Did somebody quit? There's something about to happen that if we stay sharp, we may find out. And now here we go. Now they have plausible deniability. It just seems too obvious. They've got to be putting some plausible deniability in place or something, don't you think?
Well, I wouldn't, you know, I don't know, but I would not be surprised. You know, that may be exactly what's up.
Yeah, because they don't seem great at volunteering these sort of things. They seem to shy away from everything we're interested in. So, I wish I could see the forest. I just got the feeling I'm not seeing the forest for the trees, and maybe it's just me, but there's a. I wish I wasn't as interested in everything you and I are interested in as I am, so I could more or less see the big picture without being sort of influenced to lean one way, you know?
Well, you know, there's three possibilities here. One, things are exactly as NASA says they are. Or two, things are not as they say they are, and this is an alien signal. Or three, it's mixed. There's some kind of glitch with the spacecraft, but they're using it to divert our attention away from something else. So those are the three possibilities as I understand them, as I see them. And I don't know which one is the factual one yet.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing a lot of surfing this weekend to see if there's just some little thing somewhere that I'm missing or whatever. Anyway, thank you very much for taking my call. Have a nice weekend, and it's been a great show tonight, Kevin. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Bill. Yeah, I don't know which of those scenarios is the correct one, but I think it's one of those three. And we will know pretty soon. I don't think it's going to be all that difficult for us to know what's really up if we keep our eyes open. And keep our ears open. And look, it may turn out to be that it's exactly as NASA has told us. And that they just, you know, they just haven't given us all the pieces of the puzzle yet. And maybe they will. That's a possibility. I would say, based on past performance, that's probably not going to be forthcoming. They're probably not going to put more pieces of this puzzle out there because it's probably not exactly as they're telling us. And to put more pieces out there, even if they were, you know, especially if they were fake pieces, we would notice that. We'd catch on to that. And this that would blow this thing sky high. So two things will indicate to us that it's not exactly as they're telling us. One, they don't put the additional pieces of the information on the table to make their explanation make sense technologically. If they don't do that, it's indicative of there's more to this story than they're telling us. Or if they put fake pieces out there, and we will detect those. And if we do, that's indicative that there's more to this than they're telling us. So I would say just keep your eyes on this story. Keep your eyes on that website and see, just see, what do they do? My recommendation would be for them to just tell the truth, whatever it is, and we can handle it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. That's a wrap for this evening, and it's a wrap for this week. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.